And I see everyone here knows Jesus Christ. I know yous are all saved. The message he gives me, the messages he gives me, that sometimes hard. Although this isn't this hard, but you need to hear it. You need to understand it. There's many battles and many fights that are in the kingdom of God. The devil never stops. The devil never sleeps. The devil wants to drag us down. He comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. I don't get to do much preaching in the West because they don't want to hear about the devil. They don't want to turn their TVs on. They want to hear that God wants to shower them in money. God wants to give them Mercedes Benz, wants to give them big houses. They're liars. They want to listen to liars. They want to listen to ear-tickling prophecies. There's certain things we got to do before God will bless us. Certain things we got to understand before He can bless us. There's certain things we got to understand about the enemy before we can take them blessings. There's many battles we got to go through and much to overcome before the blessings come. But the blessings are there. These blessings, when we first get born again, God wraps us up in cotton wool. He gives us peace. He gives us joy and hope and love. And we understand the sacrifice that Jesus done for us. This isn't a message for the unsaved. And I don't see any unsaved here. Oh, God, give me this message. I've been thinking about it ever since I came here. And I'm thinking, how am I going to give this message to people who aren't saved? They're going to, you know, they won't want to come in. They'll be fearful even coming into the kingdom. But anyway, I don't have to worry about that. God sorted it out already. We'll just start. This story is repeated twice in the Bible. It's in 1 Samuel and in 2 Isaiah and in 2 Kings. When I was first, about 2 years after I was born again, there was much fear. The devil was trying to steal what he'd given me. He was coming in with so much fear and doubt. These are strong spirits that come in and speak lies. Just turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. Chapter 18 in 2 Kings is about a king called Hezekiah. Go down to verse 3 and verse 4. This is talking about Hezekiah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For under those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. Hezekiah, when he came into the kingdom, he destroyed all witchcraft and all idolatry. He got rid of the evil out of the land. It's the same when we get born again. God cleanses us of all evil. All guilt, all shame, all fear, all doubt. And he washes us clean. And it says in verse 5, he trusted in the God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. There was none before him, none like him after him. He totally cleansed the land of evil. He wanted to do it because he loved God. It's the same in us. We need to cleanse our land of evil. Because we love God. It's a struggle. It's a battle. It says in verse 6, "For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 7, "And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not." It's like us. When we get born again, we rebel against Satan. We get out of his kingdom into God's kingdom. And we begin to follow him. And it says the Lord was with him and he prospered wherever he went forth. When Hezekiah first got rid of the evil, he was prospering. That's the life when we first come into the land. That's the life that we get when we're first born again, the peace and the joy. That's the life that we get. And Hezekiah was living in that life. He was the king in the natural. He was doing this in the natural. It says that the New Testament, or the Old Testament, is a type and a shadow of the New Testament. The Old Testament shows us stories in the natural, in the flesh, in, you know, on earth here, that can compare to the kingdom of God, the spiritual world, the spiritual life in us. And we can read these stories and we can see God will speak to us and open our eyes to show us the comparison between the natural and the spiritual. So Hezekiah had a season of peace. He had a season of obeying God, and everything was good. And then the season came where the enemy had a go at him. The enemy started to test him. There was a king from another land who he rebelled against. And the king started surrounding the city and saying, "Give me gold, give me silver, give me this, give me that, and I won't attack you." What's he saying to you? What's the devil want? What's he trying to get back from you? What's he saying to you? Is he saying just do this little thing and I'll leave you alone? This is all right if you do this. This king said unto Hezekiah, he wanted 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. A talent of gold, a talent weighs about 70 pounds. One talent is about as heavy, half as heavy. Two talents, doesn't matter. 70 pounds, 30 kilos. I nearly put my foot in there. Well, he got into trouble there. But the enemy's saying, "You give me this, and I'll leave you alone." And so Hezekiah, in verse 16, it says, "Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria." Hezekiah started giving in to the fear and doubt. He went into the temple of God and took the gold from the temple. How many of us are giving up land that we've gained? How many of us are turning over things, the gold in our temple, to the enemy? Because of fear, because of doubt, because of slackness, laziness, whatever it is, all of us, we're all affected in some way. The devil doesn't sleep. He's always trying to steal our gold. Says Hezekiah stripped the temple bare. And he thought the enemy would go. And then it says, the enemy never came. He came back with greater numbers. And we opened the door for the devil. And we let our weakness open that door. He's not going to go away. He's going to come straight in. He's going to come straight in and try and steal everything. Try and steal everything that we got. Trying to make us backslide into hell. And I'm not aiming this at anyone. I'm aiming this at myself too. God showed me this a few years ago, or about, it'd be 10 years ago now. And he had to show it to me time and time and time again. Probably he had to show me 20 times before it sunk in. It seemed like every time I opened the Bible, I'd come across this story. I'd say, what are you trying to tell me, God? What are you trying to tell me? Then it's fear and doubt. The king of Assyria, or we could call it Satan, came against Hezekiah with, he started lying to him. He says, what confidence in this is that you trust? And the king says, who, the evil king says, in verse 20, thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Once we open that door, once we let the devil in, one little weakness and open that door, the devil comes in. Then he starts tormenting Hezekiah. The devil, the enemy says, who do you think you are? Who do you actually think you are that you can rebel against me? This is how the devil speaks to us. He'll say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Later on he says, where is your God? He starts surrounding the city. You need to read this story. You need to read it over and over again. Let God give you the revelation. The devil will come into your life and he'll say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are rebelling against me? Especially when you're down, especially when there's problem, when there's trouble, that's when he'll come in. That's when he speaks. The devil's a dirty fighter. The devil's the dirtiest fighter on the planet. He don't live by rules. There's no rules in his kingdom. If you open the door, he'll come in every way. Every dirty way, every deception, every delusion, every fear and every doubt. You open that door, he'll come in. And he'll come in and he'll start tormenting. He'll say, where's the God you believe in? Where's this God you believe in? Where's he gone? Where is he in your time of trouble? Where is he? You're praying to him. Nothing's happening. This is the thoughts you'll get. And we've all had them. We're all getting them. It's fear and doubt. It's fear and doubt. There was a man called Rabshakeh. He was the messenger. The messenger from the evil king. He was the one, the messenger, to bring fear and doubt. To try and weaken the people. And he'd come and he'd come and instead of speaking to just one man, to King Hezekiah, he went to the wall. He spoke to everyone. Everyone sitting on the wall. All those that were hungry, he spoke to. He spoke to everyone's ear. The weak, the young. He's a dirty fighter. And the people, they were wondering, what can we do? What can we do? Where is God? He said, go to verse 29. The devil even spoke in the not the devil, the messenger of the evil king, the king of Assyria. He even spoke in the Jews' language. He went right up to the wall and he spoke in a language that everyone could hear. The devil sounds like your own thoughts. When the devil speaks, he doesn't knock on the door and come and speak and say, I'm the devil. He speaks and he makes him sound exactly like your own thoughts. This is how he speaks. And if you can't recognize the devil speaking, then you think they're your own thoughts, then he'll deceive you into believing they're coming from yourself. This is how he tricks us. When I was doing witchcraft and inviting other spirits in, I could recognize these voices. They were slightly different, but they were so much the same as my own thoughts, but only a little difference. Most Christians can't recognize the voice of the devil because he hides. He deceives. He's waiting, he's setting traps. He's digging pits and setting snares. He's speaking all the time. And fear and doubt are the two biggest weapons he uses. When you hear fear and doubt, you must question, where's it coming from? Because most of the time it's coming straight from the devil. Especially when you're going through a battle. Especially when you're going through a trial. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. We need to have faith, we need to have trust in God. When we come to God, we need to trust him. God will stretch us, he'll test us and he'll squeeze us, and he waits till the very last minute. Most of the time, the very last minute, he'll make us wait until our breakthrough, until our prayers are answered. And that way we grow in trust, we grow in patience and strength and long-suffering, and we get strong. So when you're going through a battle and there's fear and doubt coming in, There's other bits to this story, but I'll give the main points. In the end, Hezekiah went to the prophet of God, and said, "What do I do, God? Everybody's listening to this fear and doubt." And God gave him the answer. But in a short time, the enemy will go back to his land and you'll be free. Just hang in there, basically. To cut things short, he said, just hang in there. Just wait, be patient, trust me. That's what you've got to do. You've got to start trusting. We'll go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 6. Fear and doubt. When fear and doubt start coming in, you've got to rebuke the messenger. When I clicked, like I said, I read this 20 times, and I thought, and I finally got the revelation that fear and doubt were the things that were keeping me down. Fear and doubt were blocking my steps from going forwards. And I tell you this, I only said one prayer. One prayer that was about 1 minute long. I said, I rebuke the messenger of fear and doubt. I rebuke you, fear and doubt, in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not listen to you anymore. I will not let you speak in my ear. I command you to leave. I command you to leave now and not come back. I can see now, you're the one speaking, you're the one telling me lies. You leave, get away from me and never come back, I rebuke you. In Jesus' name. And it went. And in one prayer after I got the revelation, every time it comes, I can hear it. I know his voice. Because his voice doesn't change. You've got to start rebuking the messenger of fear and doubt. Because he'll speak. Everyone is. You're hearing him. Even John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 11, we'll just read from verse 2 down to verse 5 or 6. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. John the Baptist was in the wilderness waiting. He was doing God's will. He was waiting for Jesus to arrive. And when Jesus arrived, he said, This one is greater than I. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoelaces. He knew straight away he was the Son of God. When we're born again, we know straight away Jesus is the Son of God. If you're truly born again, you know that Jesus is the Son of God. You should receive that revelation immediately, the Holy Spirit comes in. Because it says that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us and reveal much more, and he does. But when John was in prison, when John was at his lowest point, prisons over there, most people probably never ever got out. Once you're in prison there, you're probably just waiting for death. And that's a low point in anyone's life. Even John the Baptist, who lived out, he wore camel hair and ate locusts. He was a hard man. He was strong. He was God's chosen man. But even when he was in prison, he said, this is verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist wondering, is the devil speaking fear and doubt? Fear and doubt had come into him. Are you the Messiah, Jesus? We'll ask that same question, every one of us. Where are you, God? Where are you, Jesus? When the devil's speaking fear and doubt into our minds and hearts, where are you, God? And the devil will start lying. Where is your God? Your God's not real. Your God doesn't exist. You've lost your salvation. You're going to go to hell. How many lies have you heard him speak already? Every time, even when we do one thing wrong, he comes in with those lies. That's why you need to repent. You need to repent quickly. It says 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is righteous, faithful and just to forgive us of our unrighteousness, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He'll wash us clean immediately. He'll clean us. Cleanse us. And we need to say to the devil, because we need to speak to the devil. He needs to be put in his place. He needs to be put under our feet. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. We need to say to him, devil, I've repented for that sin. I've been washed in the blood and I'm free of it. You've got no hold. Start speaking to him. Start telling him where he's at. This is just some of the weapons we got. This is the spiritual weapons. No man can pick up a sword and know how to use it straight away. They're probably half of them. Sorry, Sam. No man can pick up a sword and use it straight away, know how to use it. Half of them probably couldn't even lift it off the ground. No man can, you can't shoot a gun and hit the target the first time you shoot it. Every weapon we've got needs practice. We need to practice using the weapons. We need to take time out to practice. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's the stronghold in your life? Is the stronghold fear and doubt? Is it unbelief? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? Whatever it is, the devil knows, and the devil will increase your thoughts and try to drive you into the dirt. So it says in verse 5, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is where our imaginations happen. The battle's in here. The battle's in our mind. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Or pride. Pride's another one. The devil, you might have trouble with fear and doubt. You might have trouble with pride and self-righteousness. You might have trouble with greed or lust. And whatever little trouble you're having, the devil will increase it by speaking into your mind and saying, that's okay, God doesn't worry about that sin. Or you've made a mistake and that's the end, you've lost everything. Whatever lie works, he knows what works in your heart, he knows how it works in your mind. He's been doing this for 6,000 years. 6,000 years. He's been doing this. He's got supernatural wisdom, supernatural sight. That's why most of the population's going to hell. Because they listen to the devil. And even those that are born again can fall away. The last thing, this is a good thing to do. This is, you need to practice this. I practiced it and practiced it. Before I was saved, my mind, I couldn't stop it. It was just going out of control. So I'd get drunk to the point where I couldn't even, and so many drugs. I tried to stop my mind by that. When I came into the kingdom, I had peace. I had peace. But then the devil starts coming back in. I was opening doors. I needed to learn so much. So I read this. And it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's the last, verse 5, the last half. Take time, take even 5 minutes a day. This is all it'll take and you'll get, this is all it'll take and you'll get such understanding of what goes on in here. Just take 5 minutes. And just sit and watch. Watch the things that jump into your head. You watch them. Watch the thoughts that come in. Don't tell anyone you're going to do it. Just pick a time and do it. And try and figure out, is that one from God? Is that one from me? Or is that one from the devil? And they're coming in all over the place. There's a witchcraft technique that it says you to steal your mind. It's called meditation. And you steal your mind so you can allow these voices in. The devil, don't steal your mind. You can't be passive. You need to, your mind needs to remain active. But we need to renew our mind. So take those 5 minutes and watch. And then when you see bad thoughts, try to stop them. Tell them to go. Tell them to go in any way you want. Just say, I resist you. Whatever they are, whether it's fear, anxiety, depression, anything, whatever the battle is, try to resist them. Now, when something comes in, I don't even let it finish the sentence. I can cut it off like that, bang, gone, out, and I stop it. And you can get that good at it. Because you need to. Because he never stops. So he can't, he still gets in sometimes in me weak moments. He troubles me. But very rarely. So, and you can get that way too. You've got to work on it. You've got to be strong. You've got to learn to use the weapons. And this is the best weapon. Take your thoughts captive. Don't let them run wild. Don't let them run wild. And I was, when we went to prayers the other night, and Eric was telling us about the fights he had, the battles that he has in the night. You know, you're all going to face them too. Especially if you're doing God's work. Eric said he punched one in the mouth. And this is in a vision. And his mouth was right into the back of his head. And while he was fighting that one, another one jumped on his back. The devil can fight in the spirit too. God reveals things that's happening. The first fight I had with a demon, there was a Jezebel woman at church. And we just started praying for the sick, me and my wife, and we were seeing people get healed. And they didn't like it in the church. The first dream I had, the first battle with a demon in my sleep, there was a snake about that round, and had this woman's head on the end of it. It was about as long as this old church. And it came out of a tree and grabbed me right there. And I woke up, whoa, what was that? And in there, that caused trouble. I felt pain. That was God showing me that a spirited enemy, a witchcraft spirit, a demon, a curse. I didn't know how to fight it. I didn't know how to battle it. But then, and it took me about 2 years. 2 years to get over that, to figure out how to fight that, how to beat that. Since then, there's been snakes, crocodiles, bears, scorpions. And you'll come across these. If you're doing God's work, you mightn't see this like we see it, but you might. When you're having a fight in the spirit, God will reveal it in the spirit. But the fight might be in the natural. But there's really no fight in the natural, they're all in the spirit. Anyway, now there's still many demons come. I ask God for them. Send them to me, God. Because now when they come, I've always got a stick or a gun or a sword, and I've been chopping heads off. I've been beating them with sticks. When someone comes against me in the natural, And I pray about it. There's usually a fight that night. But because God's given me weapons, even in the spirit, I can smash them, chop them up, I can trample them. And the battle's gone just like that. And he helps us fight like that. He wants to fight our battles. He wants to make us strong. David said, ask God, teach my fingers to war and my hands to fight. Ask God to teach your fingers to war and hands to fight. That's the only thing I ask God. Help me fight these battles, God. And I'm actually encouraged now. I'm encouraged. When there's a fight on, sometimes I've woken up, there's been a fight, and I woke up angry, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to let him do that to me. Give me weapons, God, let me go back there and give it to this demon. So he lets me go back, he gives me a weapon, and I go and crush him, You know, God so much wants to fight for us. But he wants to train us to fight. He wants to train us to stand. He's so good. He wants us to fight and win the battles. One night, I told you about the last time where these two men cut me throat because of the Freemasonry oath. And Eric, next time I went to the email, Eric had already said, there's two men coming, be careful. But it already, I wrote back and said, yeah, I know, it's already happened. But there was a voice come to me. I was in the middle of a human sacrifice, and there was a voice came to me. And he said, take your videos off YouTube if you value your life. I've heard many voices, many threats, just like we were talking about, the threats, fear and doubt. Four times I've been held into bed and I couldn't move. I couldn't even breathe. All I could do was think, help me Jesus. Then the next thing I could, help me Jesus. Then the next thing, help me Jesus. Then once I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I felt this thing, it was like it got ripped off. And we've got a steel chimney in our house. Something smacked against the chimney on the way back to where it comes. And that was so good. So many battles. Never fear though. God wants to teach them. Be encouraged. If you're getting fought against, you're doing something right. If you're in a battle, you're doing something right. I'm out of time now. That's about all I got. I've got a little bit more, but I'll just read this. This is one that I should read. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. After all we're talking about, you're going to get attacks from the devil. I'm so glad that there's no one saved here. So I don't have to tippy-toe around them worrying about putting fear in their heart about coming into the kingdom. But I'm glad that I can speak the truth and speak to you people the way that I have been. Verse 43 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. When you've been born again, the unclean spirit's left. But he hasn't gone far. He's walking around. He's been banished from your kingdom, your temple. But then 44 says, then he says, I will return unto my house from whence I came out, and when he has come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. Then go 45. Then goes he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. When you overcome a battle, when you get a victory, and the devil leaves you, be wary, because he's only wandering around. He's going to try and come back in. And if you let him back in, it says here, even so is worse than the first. You'll become worse than you were. There's always a battle. But once they realise, once they'll keep coming trying to speak lies to you, trying to get back in. When you're taking your thoughts captive and you can recognise those thoughts, you can deal with them. You can say, get. Get in the name of Jesus Christ. He must leave. You have authority over him. One more thing. 2 Peter 2:20. I think that last one was the last thing, but this is really the last thing. Now, I thank you for your word, Abdul, about prayer. We must pray. We always got to keep in contact with God. Tell him your worries. Tell him your fears. Tell him how you feel. Tell him exactly how you feel. Sometimes I even get angry with him because I don't understand. Sometimes I go crook at him, go mad at him. But I repent soon after. You know, he knows. He knows what's going on. He knows how we feel. Don't worry about being honest with him. Hang on, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2:20. It's talking about false teachers and doctrines. Following false teachers. But in verse 20, it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ..." We've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We've already done that when we're born again. It says they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So when you gain ground, when you get a victory, when you overcome your sin, whatever you're fighting against, don't go back. We can end up seven times worse. I've seen my friends, I've seen people come in the kingdom, get born again, turn back to the drugs, turn back to the drink, turn back to the sex. And now one of my friends, he's dosed up on pills so much, he just walks around like this, dribbling at the mouth. And you can't talk to him. You can't say, look at you. Look what the devil's doing to you. The devil's... This is one of my friends. This is one of my friends. When Eric asked to pray for your backslidden friends, this is who I was praying for. One of this. I mean, that's an extreme case, but he's worse than he was before he got born again. The only battle he had to fight was walk past the hotel on his way home from church. He did it for about two Sundays. And then the devil said, go in, won't hurt. And he went in. That's his state. Never go back to your sin. Never go back to your sin. And learn to take your thoughts captive. Practice that. You can practice it. You can practice it anytime, anywhere. And you'll be surprised what jumps into your head. So that's my message. I thank you for your time. I'm sorry I took longer than I should have. It's important. I felt it was important. You need to know the walk, the fight and the battle and how to win. Amen.